Good to be back home. We've just gone a little while, but seems like longer to me. And Brother Perkins said, go ahead and teach the Sunday school lesson. I've been dragging out the book of Revelation a long time. And maybe I can make it to the rapture if I just keep on stalling and take a Sunday off every now and then. Amen. All joking aside, we've gone slowly through the book. Some of you listen so slow, I blame it on you. But the truth is, if you knew it all, and I don't, but if you knew it all, we'd been in it a lot longer. Amen. I mean, we're just getting the tip of the iceberg, basically. We do have a visiting pastor with us, I believe from Dayton, Ohio. I'll stand up and tell us your name. You'll get it nearer right than I will. Great, folks, appreciate you coming. He's not perfect, he's a friend of Al Stone's. I'm joking with him a little bit. Al's one of our good friends and been with us a number of times. Evangelist now. And you tell him, brother, that when you get home and see him, we have not forgot him. We have not forgot the service where he was trying to illustrate a point on Sunday night, and he ran around the auditorium, and it was embarrassing, because he invited anybody else that wanted to run with him to run, and there was a lady that was, a female that was visiting with us, not dressed appropriate at all for church, or anywhere as far as I was concerned. And she chased him all around the building. He was embarrassed. We were embarrassed. And we've never let him forget it. Because if you know Brother Al, that's the kind of guy he is. You have a lot of fun with him. Great youth speaker, just a great preacher. But that and so I've reminded him of it once in a while. No way he'll ever get over that. All right, all joking aside, open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. We should be getting into chapter 21, and we started it just a little bit, and we will. We need to remember our context, where we're coming from. We've been through the whole book. We are living, I believe, right at the end of chapter 3, ready for chapter 4 to break open, and I believe it breaks open with the rapture. I believe we're going to be caught out around verse 1 of Revelation chapter 4, like John was. He was caught up to heaven. He heard a voice and he heard a trumpet and he was caught up. And that's exactly what's going to happen with God's believers. And it could be any time, and sure looks like it's getting closer. But John in chapter 4 caught up. In chapter 5, he's around the throne. He sees the weeping. He weeps himself because no man is found worthy to open the book, take it from the hand of him that sits on the throne. And then he's told to weep not, because the Lamb of the tribe of Judah prevailed and is going to take the book. And of course he sees the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he sees the lion, though he looks like a lamb that's been slain. It's pointing to Jesus and the shed blood. And Jesus is the only one worthy to take the book from him on the throne. And then he begins to open the book. It's a seven sealed book. We often refer to it as somewhat like the title deed to the earth. I mean, the book of Revelation is a revealing, and Jesus is being revealed in the book of Revelation. And his revealing is, he's coming for his bride first. The tribulation period, the day of Jacob's trouble, given to the Jews, and the fight with the Antichrist is going to take place. And as we've gone all the way through the book, we've seen a lot of events taking place on earth, most of which is in what we call the tribulation period. The tribulation period is Daniel's 70th week, given to Israel, given to the Jews. That's a distinction you need to keep in rightly dividing the Bible and understanding it. And we've gone through that now and come down to the time that God then begins to plague the Antichrist kingdom with all his judgments that begin to fall. And then finally, we see the devil cast into the lake of fire, and the false prophet false prophet, Antichrist, is cast in the fire first. And then finally, we find Satan after 1,000 years added to him over there, where Satan has been bound in the kingdom of Christ for 1,000 years on earth. So as we move into chapter 21 and 22, we're moving past all that. We're into the eternity, to the future, into the victory. Sometimes we say, well, I'll take a victory lap. Well, here in the last chapters of the book of Revelation, we see a victory lap. The Lord Jesus, his kingdom is on earth, and he is in charge. And finally, we'll get the joy of seeing our destination in these last two chapters. Now, that's in context of chapter 21. Before I get into that, I remind you that the last time I was here, Sunday before last, was that correct? And, of course, the war has broken out between Russia and Ukraine over there and all the sad stuff we're seeing and all the pain. And, by the way, that's what's in store for planet Earth from now on. From now on. And the truth is, as you look through the tribulation period, there's a lot of war. The final big war, when Jesus has to come back as creator and literally fight his creatures to take over and set up his kingdom. Isn't that something? Battle of Armageddon. All nations, it says. Somebody says, is America in the Bible? Well, if all means all, yes, we are. And I know in Matthew 25, there's going to be a judgment of the nations after Christ sets up his kingdom. Some of them will be called goat nations, and some of them will be called sheep nations. Matthew 25, they'll come before the king, before the throne for the judgment. Not the great white throne judgment that we've already studied, but a judgment on earth. They'll come before the king in Jerusalem, and he'll say to them, to go the right or the left, depending on how they've treated his brethren. Now, we in a day and time where even in America and population of the earth is much divided over the Jew. The Jew has been persecuted through history like no other race. Somebody says, do you believe in racism? I sure do. It works every different direction. And all we got in our liberal media today is one direction, but it goes all directions. And it has from the beginning. And what you have here is the nations being judged depending on how they have treated his brethren, the Jews, in Matthew 25. As we get to Revelation, we find out he has to fight the nations. We got to the end of chapter 6 and saw all the kings and everybody crying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. That takes you to the end to the Battle of Armageddon, but the Bible goes back in Revelation and gives you more detail, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, you move on through. I'm saying all that to just get you in context that we're to the last two chapters, the victory lap, so to speak, the joy that we can see, and we can understand how it wraps up. I remind you again, sometimes as you young people, heard somebody say recently, and I thought this was funny. They said, you know you're growing old when you go in Cracker Barrel and see all your youthful toys hanging from the ceiling. So we know we've passed on some time, haven't we? And that is very true with most of us in the room here today. And the truth is, I'm not fearing that. I got something better waiting. In fact, there's a joy to it. There's a side that makes me say, praise God, I don't have to go through that no more. Amen. There's a feeling about that. But before I get into the context of chapter 21 and the joys that we are seeing in the new heaven and the new earth that's coming, I ask you to read some in Ezekiel 36 through 39. I'm not going to have a show of hands. But so many questions about the current events, Ukraine and Russia and the terrible stuff that we're seeing go on. Questions like, is this the start of the Third World War? Now, you're hearing that in the news. Even folks that don't know the Bible at all are talking stuff that the Bible would give them the answer if they did read it. But they don't. And they don't hear about it. And yet, it's bothering them because they've heard enough gossip. I remember sitting on the front porch of that old house behind the college tower. That's where we rented, and I was in there from the sixth grade till I graduated, so about 6 years. And the neighbor was a good man, but he had a terrible alcohol problem. And so weekends he'd get pretty drunk, but he'd sit on the front porch and he'd talk Bible. You know, sometimes more Bibles talked at a bar than in some churches. That's too bad. And what brings him, what causes that? Conviction and fear. That's what causes it. And I used to hear him talk about the very things we're seeing in the news now. When Russia begins to make its move, all right, is this that big move? Is this starting the Third World War? You hear that talk on the news. Probably it could be the start, but it's not it yet for sure. And we want to be careful we don't overreact and see too much into it just yet. Is it the start of that prophecy? See, there is, and I get my facts from the Bible. I know some of you carry that little electronic box, and if anybody says anything on it, you think it's true.
Yeah, come on.
But it's not.
Right.
It's got as much gossip or more than the lady leaning over the fence talking to her favorite partner.
Right.
You better watch that stuff, folks.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Is the person doing the supposition, speculation that they're making, are they saved? If they're not saved, they don't have the Holy Spirit living in them, and therefore they don't have a whole lot of truth.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is a revealer of truth. Where is he going to reveal it to you from? From the Word of God. So get your facts from the Bible. Check everything else by the Bible. You can hear a story, sounds pretty good, may have some truth in it. Mama used to mix Coca-Cola with medicine to get me to swallow it. And a whole lot of fakers out there are getting enough truth in to make a lot of folks swallow a lot of junk.
Yeah.
And if you don't check it by the Bible, you're going to be in trouble.
That's right.
And to check it by the Bible, you're going to have to put some time in it. You're going to have to know what it says. You're going to have to listen to good preachers, because there's a lot of them that's all mixed up out there also. So what I'm saying to you about that is make sure of your authority. There's only one final authority. That's the Word of God. And you need to be sure of that. So be willing to check it out. Yeah, some biblical things look like are taking shape. But in time, it takes time for things to fulfill, to move. And I believe we're in the latter days. I believe that and preach that for a long time. A lot of the statements, if you did read Ezekiel 36 through 39, that's the restoration of Israel when the bones come back together, and then with a northern block of nations, they're named and they're identified, and many believe Meshach and Tubal is Moscow and Tobolsky in Russia. Scofield's notes are pretty accurate on it if you've got a Scofield Bible. If you want to study a little deeper, get the Clarence Larkin and some others, good men that have written. They're not perfect. They don't know it all. But boy, it does amaze me how, because they believe the Bible, what they wrote about 75 years, 100 years ago even, is now coming about. For instance, Clarence Larkin wrote Dispensational Truth and some other books. But he wrote in the 1920s, as though Israel was already back in the land. You and I come along later and read his book, and it sounds like they were already there because he believed the Bible and made the prediction they would be there. And they have gotten there. If you want to use the terminology that a lot of preachers uses about Israel returning to the land, the sign of that's spoken in the Bible, Jesus spoke about it, and he spoke about the fig tree blossoming. I used to hear old-time preachers say, when the fig tree blossoms. Well, you and I live in the blossoming time. Some of us have been over to Israel and seen that desert flourishing like a rose garden, predicted in the Word of God. In fact, I stood on Mount Olivet with a group of Christians and turned to the portions in the Bible and read how the desert would blossom as a rose. There we were standing there, standing in the place of fulfilled prophecy. How realistic it was. And if you believe the Bible, you'd be accurate. Do not be led astray by everybody's ideas, and especially people that aren't saved to begin with. Don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They got a lot to learn. All they're doing is judging from current events and politics and all of that business that's going on, which the devil is manipulating.
Amen.
He's got a bunch of politicians that nothing more than puppets on strings. And whichever string is pulled and whatever speech was written, that's what they say if they can half read it. Our president has trouble reading the speeches they write for him. But I guarantee you one thing, he didn't write them. That's for sure. All right, help yourself. The door lets you out if you want to get out. But this prophecy, is it part of the latter day? Yeah, it could be the beginning. It could grow into that thing. But there's some things that don't yet fit. Like I say, God destroys that block of nations, northern block that moves against Israel. He destroys them on the mountains of Israel. And if you read Ezekiel 36 through 39, you know right now the war is not going on the mountains of Israel. And it could move to that before it's over. Yeah, yeah, it possibly could. But when God does it, he does it supernatural. Everybody's worried about, I remember as a kid after World War II ended, and I didn't know any Bible, wasn't saved, and I'd hear them talk about the atom bomb. Well, that's a peanut now compared to the nuclear bombs they've got. We understand that as far as the power goes. But everybody talked about it. When Russia finally exploded their bomb after we'd exploded ours at the end of World War II, that was great big news. And school kids was taught to crawl on the desk if they saw a flash of light. You remember that? I don't know what the good that was going to do you, but anyway, it's sort of like wearing the mask and a few other things that didn't work so hot. Amen? But, you know, you better watch out who you're getting your advice from. Anyhow, I could get off on that too easy. The nuclear phenomena that takes place in Ezekiel, when big ice blocks fall from heaven and destroy that northern army on the mountains of Israel, that is of God. Amen. If you read some of the battles in Joshua, you will find out that God has also fought in the battles before. And ice blocks from heaven has happened before. Now, the nuclear phenomena has ice blocks with it, according to right after, long after World War II, we were continuing to do the atom bomb test, and they took some of the old ships that they wanted to sink anyway and get rid of, and they parked them on the Bikini Islands area, and they dropped atom bombs on them. You can read about it. Some of you folks that know how to Google it up, I don't, but you can. You get some of this. But some of those atom bomb tests, nuclear tests, and they used some of our old rusty iron ships out there, and they hit them with the bombs, practice. And they discovered that the damage to the ships was done not as much from the bomb as the phenomenon in heaven that took place when the big ice blocks fell and hit the ships and dented the thick armor of the metal ships. All of that is something to read. Then when you read Ezekiel and find that part of the judgment that falls on the northern army and destroys them on the mountains of Israel is ice blocks falling from heaven. So yeah, it's a latter day. These things are not taking God by surprise. He's already written about them. And you can read about them in his book. But some things don't fit yet. They're not fighting out there on the mountains of Israel yet. God's judgment has not started falling on it yet, as you read in Ezekiel. And at this particular time, that's not where the war is. Now, the prophecy in Ezekiel is an old prophecy. God says it is. If you want to flip to it just for one verse, just turn to Ezekiel 38. And I believe I want to look about verse 17. If I can find it. You help me and you might find it first. Go to Ezekiel chapter 38. And we'll pick it up in about verse 17. Listen to this. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he? Now he's addressing Gog and Magog. He's addressing this block of nations. And the Lord God, thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time? In other words, this is not something new. God's told them about it before. Spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years, that I would bring thee against them. God says, what you're doing now, I've told them a long time ago was coming. In the past, my prophets spoke of that. That's what he's saying. And so, yes, you and I are seeing Bible fulfilled. I hope you know we've been seeing Bible fulfilled for a long, long time. I got saved in 1957. That's back when wheels were square and no cell phones had ever been invented. Amen? And the truth is, a lot of our young people could solve half their problems if they could go back to days like that. Quit living in cyberspace and live in the real world. Oh, yeah, it's so easy to get sidetracked on all that stuff. I mean, back then we even knew the difference of a man and a woman. Amen. Did you see, I'm chasing a rabbit, forgive me. Did you see the little talk going on trying to put in the new Supreme Court judge, the woman? And one of the senators had the audacity to ask her if she could define what a woman was. And she said she couldn't. Amen. That was in the news this week. That's the age we have moved to, folks. I mean, stupid is not a big enough word to cover what is going on in this day and time right now in America. But anyway, God told Gog and Magog this prophecy that the world calls World War III in Ezekiel. He said, I've told my people you were coming from the old days. The prophets spoke of you years ago. And so is that the beginning of it? I don't know. I don't want to react to it. I don't want to speculate on it. I'm only going to go by what I can prove from the Bible. And that's enough. If you believe the Word of God, watch out for the stuff that's blamed on the Word of God. There's a lot of folks quote Bible that's not Bible. Claim the Bible teaches. Well, all right, we used to say this, didn't we? Chapter and verse. When you tell me something, all right, chapter and verse. Now I want to add a little bit to that. It ought to be chapter and verse, but it ought to be in context. Amen. Somebody said, you can take the Bible and prove anything. Yeah, if you want to pervert, but if you stay in context, you can't. The truth is there. And chapter and verse, be careful. It's the only authority. What it predicts will happen. One day we'll recognize it in detail, in great detail. Many of the prophecies that we know have been fulfilled, you go back and look at them now and look what detail that was fulfilled, the little things. Anyway, it will happen if God has said it would. I will say this, and I'm going to move to chapter 21. We ought to be warned by what's going on. It is a late day. If you're not saved, you are playing Russian roulette with your soul. If you love some souls that aren't saved, you're playing Russian roulette with their souls if you don't tell them about Jesus. You heard a good soul winning report there a while ago of young people going out soul winning, going into the pits of the worldliness of this world, and still folks can be saved. James is sitting here on the front row, gave me a great testimony this morning of going out and winning a few young people to the Lord and giving them tracts and telling them to pass them out. And sure enough, they did. And down the road later, he found out some others had already got tracts from those that he won and gave to. I mean, folks, the biggest problem is the world tells us it don't work. But if you'll still witness to others, it does work. It does work. It's important that we obey the Lord. All right, it's a good time, though, and use this as a soul winner. Use this, folks. You're seeing the news on TV. You're seeing a war fought in your living room every night. You're seeing the pain and the suffering and the hurt and the confusion. Yes, well, that's not going to get better very long. They may get a little peace thing going over this war, but the next one is waiting to start. And some bad stuff is ahead until Jesus wraps it up. Amen. The rapture could happen at any time. So now I want to go back to chapter 21 and start off just a little bit. It says, I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. And there was no more sea. Now I'm going to deviate just a little bit. We read the word sea and we think of the Pacific or Atlantic or some ocean on earth. It may mean that. But there's a good chance, if you run a couple of references, that the sea here is very much could be the water in heaven that is being changed. Now, I probably shouldn't open this can of worms, but if you turn back with me, go to the book of Job. We ran across this in Revelation chapter 5. But go with me back to Job, and we're gonna read a verse here in Job 38, and look at it in verse 30. Verse 30 of Job 38. Here we go. The waters are hid as with a stone. Can't see through it. And the face of the deep is frozen. Now, when we got caught up to the throne in chapter 5, John did. Saw him sitting on the throne with the seven seal book in his hand. We found out that it was a frozen or a throne or sea of glass. Now, when you look at ice, you look through it just like you do glass. Around, and I don't understand it all, but around the throne in heaven, there is a frozen area, what we would call a sea of glass. So this may be when it's being opened, because now heaven is fixing to come down to earth. And so there's no more sea, maybe that sea of glass, maybe that frozen part. I don't know. I read something in the newspaper and checked it out several years ago to see and got a little more information on it. They were saying that they had discovered that there was a river in space. That don't make sense, does it? Above us in space, where the rockets can shoot up maybe. Higher than that, of course, a river. Science was saying there's a river of water up there. And I checked it out, and they claim there is. There is. Well, the face of the deep is frozen, and there's a throne of glass around there in heaven. Maybe this is part. Maybe it's no more sea. I think it's a bigger view than just what we would think of an earthly ocean here. And he says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, it doesn't say she is the bride, but prepared as a bride. Now, if you drop down, same chapter, to verse 9 and 10 here, let's look at it. Verse 9, Revelation 21. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride," and here's a very important statement, "the Lamb," capital L, Jesus, "the Lamb's wife." Now, a lot of theologians and preachers get a little mixed up by not taking the Bible pretty literal in some places. The bride talking about here is the Lamb's wife. Who is the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus. Somebody said, well, the bride is God's bride. No, if you study the Bible carefully, Israel is spoken of as God's bride, God's wife. The Lamb's wife is the church, as we see here. That means that if the Lord Jesus steps out on the porch of heaven and calls for us, his bride's coming up. That's the rapture. That's what we generally, generically speak of as the church. And there is that difference, that distinction, because God has some plans for Israel on earth that he has promised all the way back in the Old Testament. I said we could even begin to dig a little deep in the book of Revelation and be there another 2 years. And I'm not going to do that. Don't get scared. But the truth is, it's full, folks. I mean, just one verse, just a few words, just opens up so much as you do the book of Revelation. I'm not bragging because I should know more. I've talked through it many times in college and in church, and I've never gone through it another time, but what there was just more than I could talk about again, and even see things I did not see in the previous trips through it. You won't use it up. That doesn't mean you're contradicting. You know, a verse of Scripture can have so many truths, and none of them are contradicting. They all fit together. And Peter said that no verse is of any private interpretation. When you get a verse in the Bible and you take it and say it means this, but none of the other verses back it up, prop it up, expound on it, you got the wrong interpretation. You don't make it contradict itself. It fits. If it don't fit, it's your interpretation that's wrong. And that's what you got to watch out for today in this false time we live in. I think about this war thing going on and what words, key words I keep hearing over and over, even on the news commentators. Many of them don't know the Lord for sure. But you hear them mention words and you see it happening even in a political sense. For instance, when you pull up to the gas pump, just pull up and say, Bible being fulfilled. That's what it is. You read over there, I already read to you where in those days you touch not the oil. The oil is a big deal. Big deal. And not only that, as you read Revelation 6, when the first four seals of the book, seven seal book is opened, and we speak of them as the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and you read there about the events breaking on earth in the tribulation. We've gone much further than that in detail in Revelation, but you remember you have the white horse of peace. Right now, the world is really ready for a man of peace to show up. They're really going to swallow his lie and his program when he shows up. He's a fake rider on the white horse. He'll be a fake Christ. And that's the first rider of Revelation 6. The second rider is the red horse of war. And you know, war is going to follow when the Antichrist begins to take over the earth. Then following the red horse is the black horse of famine. Isn't it interesting in the news right now they're talking about the wheat? Well, that's exactly what Revelation says. The oil and the wheat is mentioned. And now even our own president talks about food shortage. I find a contradiction in all the stuff that comes, of course, out of that. Wasn't that long ago we were exporting millions of pounds of wheat to Russia. Look it up, you'll find. Now they're saying we're going to have a shortage because Russia can't send us wheat. Now, something wrong with that story somewhere. It can't be both ways. What's happening is food is going to be weaponized just like oil is. And, we could talk about that all the time, but it does help you to understand when the Bible says some of these things, how accurate it was and is, of course. So we need to understand that. As I move on just a little bit here for 1 minute, it says, I heard a great voice, verse 3, out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, the truth is, it's born in the heart of man to believe in God. God only twice in the Bible mentions the atheist, and both times calls him a fool. Every man knows there's a God. Deep in our hearts, we know there's something more. As a young kid, I remember when I made a decision, there had to be a God, even in third grade. Had to be a God. Somebody asked me not long ago, I believe it was at a funeral service, how do you know there's a God? I said, well, won't you look around at everything? Truth is, his witness is in creation, brother. He is the creator. I thought about what I ought to have done was took off my watch and said, you know, as I walked in here, I found this laying out there on the ground, and it just happened there. Nobody made it. Nobody lost it. Nobody dropped it. It just pooped out of the ground like the grass. Yeah? You think they'd believe that? They said, no, that's got, let's see, what is that? That's a Timex. Take a lick and keep on ticking, amen? Timex. Costly watch. All right, you know I'm playing with you. Somebody made that thing. Somebody created that thing. As I look around at all God's done, how could I not believe in God if I'm believing a watchmaker? It's so simple. Yet so many let the devil hang them up on something like that. No, the truth of the matter is we're seeing things mentioned in the Bible being fulfilled now, like the wheat and the oil and all of that. But God is our maker. Now, I believe in him and you believe in him, but I'm going to confess to you I've never seen him, and I don't believe you have, because the scripture says you haven't. But the time's coming, he's going to tabernacle with us. We are going to have that time that we see what we do not see now. Do you know, ever since the garden and the separation that sin brought, Adam and Eve hid after their sin, and God came looking for them in the cool of the day. From that time on, God has not walked and lived among men, tabernacled among men, but he is. Do you know today we hunger for that as people? We hunger for that fellowship with God. Yes, we do. Kids hunger for love from their parents. We're God's kids. We hunger for that love from him. And the time's coming, we're going to know him like we can't know him now. We're going to have a capacity to know him that we don't have now. And he's going to tabernacle among us. Man, what a wonderful thought. You know, today we like to see, we like to talk about, we like to believe we've seen a miracle. What we're really saying is we hunger for God, for him to make an appearance, for him to act, for him to do something, for him to reveal his hand. That's the way we feel about it. And that's a hunger. God lets man hunger, and he put food here on earth to satisfy that hunger. God lets man thirst, and he put water here on this earth to satisfy that thirst. But we have a deeper hunger and a deeper thirst, and that's to be with God. He's made provision for that also. All right, time is up. We'll see what the report here is, Brother Smith.